podcast. Scotty, what's going on?
Busy day. Busy week. Busy.
Busy, 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 Scotty says.
Exciting, exciting, exciting.
Crazy, crazy week. Here's the thing, Scotty. I'm torn between two directions for this episode to go in. Do we talk about Milwaukee? Or do we just talk about the good things?
I think we just need to talk about the good things at this point.
All right, so let's start off with the fact that I won Scotty and I's bet from last week. As of 8:54 on September 22nd, Aaron Judge has hit 3 home runs, which ties him with 60. Let's just talk about that. The 60th home run. Were you watching?
I was not.
I was, and it was at the point where I was like, Scotty, how many Yankee games have I successfully watched that they have won?
Maybe 3.
And going into the 9th inning of that game, one could assume that it was going to have pretty much the same outcome of all of the other Yankee games that I have watched. And I was like, you know, I'm going to watch Judge's at bat, and then I'll turn it off. Because might as well. You know,
only thing that's important there.
Exactly.
Judge's at bat.
And so I watched Judge's at bat and he hit 60. And you're like, oh my God, this is. Sorry, every time I get a notification, I'm now like on edge. Because I got a Bleacher Report one and an MLB one at the same time. And I was like, So Aaron Judge hit 60. The reaction to him hitting 60. I can't even. I would have paid so much money to have been transported right there. And did you see the scrum is the best
right now?
Dog pile. Did you see the people who got the ball traded it for?
Where they get like a bat and a.
They got to meet Judge. The guy who had the ball got a signed bat. And then they each got, like, signed balls. And I saw something on Twitter, and they're like, yeah, meeting Aaron Judge is really cool, but you could have sold that ball for, like, $50,000.
Yeah, that's the thing, is, like, a lot of people, I'm seeing a lot of people now be like, oh, if you catch 62, or 60, what, 61,
mm-hmm.
or 60, 61 or 62, they're like, what do you do with it? I was like, you could always sell it for millions on like eBay or something like that. You can. And then it's other people are like, or you go and you hand it off, which I think is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I don't think people should have that ball.
No.
That ball is history. And I think that's important for
he has to that have ball it, or Cooperstown or Cooper, had that
yeah,
ball.
Exactly. Him or Cooperstown have that ball. And I mean, with it being like that, you can get so much out of it. People are like season ticket for life. Like,
exactly.
I want season tickets for life. You could probably get that.
I feel like they kind of got lowballed.
Oh yeah,
got to meet Aaron
but
Judge.
I think a little bit as well is it was only number 60, so it really wasn't a ball of value at that point.
I'm sorry. The term of it was only 60. Home run 60.
It was only the one that tied Babe Ruth.
Like there was a Bleacher Report that came out either earlier today or yesterday, and they were like, Vladdy hits 30, and I'm like, we hit that in like fucking May.
Yeah. I think now he's 20 or 30 ahead of the next person. I think it's 20. I think it's 20.
And he is also now leading the Triple Crown. Him and Xander Bogaerts. I haven't checked what bogey.
Maybe that's why they're walking him. They're afraid he's going to get a hit.
It might have something to do with it, because I only saw Bogaerts' first at bat, and then I was like, oh my God, Scotty and I are supposed to be recording a podcast. and he struck out. And I know that the announcers were kind of talking about it, that like obviously Tyone knew that on the mound tonight, that if you're going to give up a hit, don't give up a hit to Xander Bogaerts, because they came into the game tonight separated by 0.04 points.
Yeah.
Judge is hitting 317. Bogaerts is hitting 316.6.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And it's I think it's funny though. Like, yeah, you know, the one person you can't give up a hit to is Bogarts. Honestly, I think Tyone's up there not wanting to give up a hit to anybody, but that's...
you would hope...
If you need to give up a hit to Bogarts, make sure it's at least worth it, like a triple or a home run or exactly. something like that. Don't just give up a cheap single here.
If he gets an infield single because the scorers don't want to give ICAMP an error, that's a problem. But going back to 60 night, you know, you feel bad because Aaron Judge really always the team player, always the guy who puts the Yankees first, does not really like take in his curtain call, because at this point the Yankees are still down by 3. It's the bottom of the 9th. Not looking great for the Yankees. So, which is always... But it was just so Judge to be like the littlest baby curtain call. Like, I don't even know why you guys are asking me to do this.
Yeah. Really quick, really short. Just like, whatever.
Like, shut up, bros. And then, I mean, there's so much from that game that I want to talk about, but let's talk about the ending real quick. We get a walk and then we get 2 back-to-back singles, I believe. Yep. And then, Giancarlo Stanton remembers that he knows how to hit the ball 118 miles an hour with no launch angle.
Zero launch angle.
And second walk-off grand slam of the year, which is crazy in itself. And, you know, I've been seeing a lot of discourse about Stanton's ability to play in New York. And I just wanted to hear your opinion on it, because I know both of us have been both very hard in Stanton and also support Stanton. In that, in his earlier at-bats, Stanton was getting booed, mm-hmm. which he has pretty much routinely received at Yankee Stadium.
Since coming off of the IL.
Honestly, I think since kind of being traded over, maybe not so much in the beginning, but once he started spending a bit more time on the IL, I feel like in my head, other than he who must not be named, who is now a Dodger, I can't think of many other Yankees, okay, other than Mr. Locked out of Yankee Stadium, Aaron Hicks, maybe, that consistently, you know, you'd hear boos or you'd hear just like a negative discourse around. But for him to be able to get booed in his first 2 at-bats and then just win the game for us, how important do you think that is to the Yankees going forward, or just to Stanton in general going forward through the rest of the year?
I mean, as you said, I think described it well, if he's been somebody that has had a target on his back, I feel like a lot of people are willing to boo him. And I don't think a lot of people realize what he's actually done as a Yankee. Just statistically, he's up there with one of the most, he's a top 5 righty batters with most home runs in a season. He had like 38. I think Gleyber Torres also has 38 as a righty. He was number 5. Like, they both were like tied for 5th. The amount of balls that Giancarlo Stanton will get 118 miles an hour off the bat.
The other day, he went 5 for 5 with 5 barrels. Or was that Aaron Judge?
That may have been our other big boy.
That one might have been.
Stanton, you know what you're kind of getting into with him. If he hits the ball, it's fucking going. But he won't always hit the ball. He won't hit the ball. He'll look like a fool sometimes, but, you know, it might not look good. But then right as he touches a ball, gets in contact, wherever it is on his bat, that thing is going 300 feet.
And that's the difference between him being a power hitter and I hate that I always bring him up because he just frustrates me. But the big sell for Joey Gallo to be a Yankee was that he's a home run or bust hitter. But the thing was, and I'm not saying that Gallo struggled with exit velo, but it was average exit velo, and his were big launch angle home runs.
Yeah.
Stanton makes contact, which is one significantly more consistent than Gallo ever did. Not that I think anybody's pegging the two of them against each other, but I think when you think of both of them, you think of guys who hit home runs. Stanton's exit velo makes his non-home runs significantly more threatening. Because a ball coming at you 118 miles an hour when you are playing second base, a little bit hard to play.
Yeah, than a fly ball that is coming in 300 feet in the air. Granted, it is not easy if it's a high fly ball, but it's a hell of a lot easier to make a catch like that than to see 120 miles an hour go flying past your face.
Bullet fly at you. And I really do I commend Stanton, and I'm not saying this, and I'm saying this, but I also will probably still be someone who has gripes with Stanton, which I think to be a fan of a team, you have to be able to see them for their mistakes and their errors and their weaknesses. But I just give Stanton so much credit because we have talked about how many players that have come into New York, Sonny Gray, Joey Gallo, freaking anybody Andrew else who's come, Heaney. Andrew Heaney, who has come into New York and has not been able to play in that spotlight. But I think Stanton does a really good job of not letting it affect
changing
him.
His game. Yeah.
Yes.
He's not changing his game. He is the same person that the Yankees signed up to get. He's the same exact person. He will hit the ball hard. He will get booed if he's not touching the ball, but that doesn't change who he is and how he is.
You never see a reaction about it, which I think is the most important part. I have two other guys that I want to talk about how they've come into the Yankees and really, really done something. They're both new guys. One guy we've talked about quite a few times over the last few weeks.
One guy we love.
Oswaldo Cabrera. First of all, he hit a grand slam in last night's game. The Yankees are the first team ever. Hold on. Let me make sure that I'm getting this stat correct. But I know that it starts with first team ever in both
a grand slam in two games.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to figure out the wording. Yankees are first club in American League, National League history to hit grand slams in back-to-back innings twice in a season.
Back-to-back innings twice in a season.
I did not realize that we've done this before this year.
Yeah.
I did not get the
wording. I mean, it makes I feel like it makes sense though. I can imagine that we've done it before.
The way that our offense has been producing this year, I'm not surprised.
We do that.
but yes, and last night, huge blowout. Oswaldo is just really, and Michael Kay has said this back-to-back nights, and I really think that it's important, is that he has not experienced any growing pains. Let me try to figure
not
out
like,
who I am on this team. He shows up, he plays the game, and he plays wherever we need him to be. And the bat clearly coming around. I mean, I saw Oswaldo all last year, and he has developed into significantly more, and I'm not saying he's a power hitter by any means, but he is creating. Giancarlo Stanton hit a 2-run home run.
Oh, really? I just looked at my MLB app and saw that he was up and then closed the app.
Manifestation, baby. but Cabrera has always been a guy that gets himself on base. When I was at Somerset, he had like a 36-game on base streak. But for him to also be getting the power behind him, which is great to be able to do all of that, and also be able to, and I'm going to say this, and I don't know if this is going to make sense. I feel like he is a crisper Andujar.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Miguel Andujar. I saw Miguel Andujar DFA today. Do you have anything to say about Cabrera? I know you do. I know you love Cabrera.
Oh, of course. I love Cabrera because I love what he's doing. I mean, he went through the minors being a shortstop. He's listed as a shortstop. Played a little bit of third blade, a little bit of third base here or there. Came up right to third base. Good plays at third base. Went to right field. Played right field. Extremely comfortable there. Played second base. Has done plays at second base. He's playing left field tonight. And that's what we talked about. We talked about this last week that we were like, or it might have been last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. We were like, can Cabrera play left if you want to put Judge to right and then Bader in center? Yes. Clearly, yes. And he is comfortable wherever the hell you put that man. He is comfortable. He is fine. There are no growing pains. Like, that's always the biggest thing that we talked about with Andujar was, like, He's playing left field like he's still playing third base.
Yeah, because he was awkward in left field, and he was untrustworthy at third base.
Yeah,
in the fact of his arm.
Yeah.
And, not in his glove abilities, but his arm.
Yeah, and Oswaldo, wherever he's been put, he has seemed comfortable. He is, you know, I guess it's just these coaches that are, and he's absorbing information from the coaches extremely well, and he's ready to play, and he is ready to play clearly wherever, whenever. And his bat has been coming alive. He's looking like he's a part of the team.
I think that's the biggest thing, is that you see like the social side, and Oswaldo's a very outgoing guy. I'm like, my friend Oswaldo. but he is. And I think that that's a really key part of this, is that the thing that we've talked about over and over through the entire course of this show is how the Yankees play better when they're not playing like they're in suits. And I think that a lot of the times when guys get pulled up, they're like almost lean towards acting more serious than, you know, really just having fun and playing baseball. And I think that that's the thing that Oswaldo does really well, is that he always looks like he's having fun, and he always just looks like loose and relaxed. Like, he just seems like a guy that baseball is just like he was born to play baseball.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what's really led to a lot of his success. And he's just, I'm very, very excited to see how we continue to use him. In that discussion, we talk about Miguel Andujar. Scotty, what are your thoughts on the designating for assignment of Andujar?
I spoke about this during trade talks. The biggest issue with Andujar is he didn't sprout to be a starter at any point. So he went through the minors, he went through his rookie contract, and we gave him a one-year contract. And I feel like we just weren't going to use him. So I think that they realized that, and they realized that we have Cabrera, we have Bader back, we have Judge in the outfield. We have those.
We also have
three
Ben
in the outfield.
We have Matt Carpenter.
Yeah, Benintendi's still hurt. Benintendi. I was confused. I was getting
really
mixed
up.
All right, now you like, yeah, exactly. Benintendi's still there. Carpenter, if you ever want to use him out there, and like things like that, we still have players who. And I think Oswaldo was the difference maker. The mix of Oswaldo and Bader. We knew Bader was coming back. And I think really how Oswaldo has shown himself and shown how comfortable he is, I think that was a big difference maker. And they're like, hey, Andujar, we just have no purpose for him to be on the team. You know, he kind of just shifted himself to be a left fielder. And the Yankees just, you know, they didn't need one.
They didn't need
one of his caliber.
What's frustrating is that we all knew there was no room for Andujar on this team, but his bat is major league caliber. So there is he has the potential to be a major league player. So I think that's where I agree. I think Miguel Andujar is a fantastic bat, but he's not a bat for the Yankees. And I just feel bad for him that the Yankees kind of did all of this to him without ever having the intention after his rookie year really to. And I know, listen, hurting his shoulder and then getting replaced by Gio Urshela screwed him over. Yeah, but I think at that point, if the Yankees were really set on Gio being their third baseman, that's when they should have considered trading Andujar, because then Andujar could have been playing. And I agree that he's always been this weird in-between defender, but you cannot ignore his bat. And especially now with a league that you have 30 DHs, I genuinely think that Miguel Andujar could find his way into a lineup where he can, yes, being a career DH as a young guy is definitely not ideal, but teams are doing it. Jordan Alvarez is doing it. Like, it's an option. Or I think that if a team is willing to give him a set position, I think that he can find his way into the league. But I agree with them moving on from Andujar. I just wish they had done it sooner. I think it was just a little unfair.
Yeah.
As you said,
he has the potential.
I saw a tweet. People were like, with Miguel Andujar now being DFA'd and Clint Frazier being a Cub, Yankee fans no longer have prospects to put into trades. The last guy that I want to talk about kind of becomes a two for one because of the chain reaction that happens with his success. And that is Harrison Bader making his Yankee debut. Scotty, on a scale of 1 to 10, how perfect would you rate Bader's debut as a Yankee?
I mean, I feel like it's like an eight. I think an eight is a good way to put it.
The best, if he had hit a home run, perfect 10.
Exactly.
Three or four RBIs. I think it might have been four, but I don't want to say it was four. But I'm pretty sure it was four. RBI, like, the guy was just everything we needed him to be. And I'm very, very excited. I haven't seen him have any overly challenging balls in center field, so he hasn't been able to be, like, the defensive whiz that, you know, Papa Carpenter said he is.
Yeah.
Miss Matt Carpenter. But the offensive performance, off the wall. This does bring up the conversation of our favorite, i.e. least favorite, Yankee right now. Did you happen to see Aaron Hicks's comments about the Yankees?
I did not.
Oh, Scotty. Oh, buddy. This is Aaron Hicks to the New York Post. I expect Bader to come in and start playing every day as he should, Hicks said on Saturday. He got traded here to help us win. We need him to be himself to win a World Series. When I get opportunities, I'll try to make the most of them, but it's extremely hard when I play a game and then I'm off for 3 days, and now there's another outfielder out there. Asked if he can make it work in New York, Hicks said, I don't know. The Yankees are going to have to make a decision, and I'll wait for whatever happens. It's not really my call. As of right now, I feel the more I play, the better I'm going to play. That's not what's going on right now. Things are tough in New York. I don't have an answer. If they feel this isn't the right fit for me, that's their call. If I do go to another team, I know I can help them win. How do you react to that? As this is, Aaron Hicks is on the team until the end of the year.
I gotta look something up real quick. I do just want to fact check myself. Because I just want to make sure that I have this correct as I look at this.
Aaron Hicks, you're trash. Tristan Casas just hit a solo home run. But it's okay.
Aaron Hicks.
Mr. Hicks, please.
You played 120 games.
He hasn't played enough, Scotty.
Like what? This is the most that you've played since 2018.
Like, I was gonna say, like, 3 years.
Like, you've had the whole season to prove yourself. Like, it's you're batting a 216. You've made errors in the outfield. You're not.
You lack hustle. It's about drive. It's about power. And you're not saying hungry. And you're not devouring. I think it's a very naive comment for him to make, and quite frankly, a stupid comment. I think we all knew that once Bader was healthy, along with the addition of Benintendi and Cabrera being available in the outfield, even before we pulled Cabrera up, the addition of Bader and Benintendi kind of made Hicks the odd guy out. I cannot understand how naive and how, I don't know if self-absorbed is the word that I'm looking for, Aaron Hicks can be to still think that he deserves a place on the field.
Yeah.
And I don't, I'm angry with Aaron Hicks's performance, but if this was Aaron Judge, I would feel this same disappointment. We hold this same expectation for everybody that there is no way you can consistently be this bad and think you deserve a spot on the field.
Exactly. There are times and there are people in situations where you could go and they could have said this. Honestly, You take a Greg Allen last year. You take a Floreal, who did only have less than 30 games each to prove themselves. But you've had 120. You had far more than a lot of people. You've had far more than Benintendi's had on this team. You've had far more than Carpenter on this team.
And they've all made more of an impact than you.
You've had far more than freaking, how am I blanking on his name? Left fielder, tore his ACL last year.
Timmy Lowe!
You've had more opportunities than LeCastro. And now if LeCastro was going and saying that, because he is getting like sent down DFA, or if any rumors of that, I would say that's valid because he hasn't had the opportunities to show himself.
Exactly. Aaron Hicks has been given every single opportunity possible and was being put out there in games that he shouldn't have been put out there, was given the reins to try and work through slumps, and he just never, ever did it. When the only thing that I can remember Aaron Hicks doing two things this year. One, I can remember him being frustrated when he finally hit a home run to tie a game for the Yankees, and then making some dumb face about being like, finally, I hit the ball. And yes, in the moment, I was very happy for him. And the second thing that I can remember is when he got pulled out of the game because he did not think the ball was fair because he was mad he didn't catch it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that home run, also a negative reaction. He's not playing like any way that a professional baseball player should play. And it's, I cannot believe that he continues to hold a roster spot. My only thought is that he gets DFA'd when Matty C is healthy again, or when Benintendi's healthy again.
There's a few other people that I'm on the lineup here that I'm like, how do they have a spot over?
Like who?
Like somebody we've talked about.
Like Marwin fucking Gonzalez. Like
Marwin motherfucking Gonzalez. Yes. Hey, where's Mr. Peraza been?
I don't know. He pinch ran yesterday. Or the day before.
Like, I'm sorry to say this, but we've talked about it. Oh, personal interests are getting involved here. Why is Donaldson still out there?
Hey, especially
in the situation that we're in.
Since returning from the paternity list, he's been better.
But even in the same sense, with the situation that we're in right now, with us in the division, with us in the playoff picture, we are very much creeping up there, and we're very soon to be in that picture. We're very close to locking up a playoff spot. I'm surprised I guess the only reason we haven't is because Toronto has started to kind of make a comeback a little bit.
And because of that messy thing called the month of August.
But yeah, but I mean, but still in the same sense of like, we have gotten points where we're like, oh, we're losing a lot, but at no point have we been like, oh, we might lose the division.
Yeah, I really, really, really just need us to cinch up the division. If we win tonight, we clinch a playoff spot. If the Orioles lose tonight, we clinch a playoff spot. The Orioles are, in fact, playing the Astros, so not to make bets or anything, but...
Oh,
our best chance is if Trey Mancini reacts like Freddie Freeman did when he returned to Atlanta and he just gets how to play baseball.
But like, you know, Donaldson could be playing well. I think we're in a situation where you get Peraza reps. I think that Donaldson is not. It sounds weird to say this. I don't think Donaldson has enough of an influence on us winning or losing a game as compared to Peraza does, I think is important to leave him in.
Scotty, you're preaching to the anti-Donaldson choir here, baby.
It is 2-0 Orioles in the bottom.
Rolos! I don't mean to be picking who I want to talk about here, but I thought that was the end of my list, and then I thought of two more. Luis Severino had his first start off of the IL last night, and homeboy shoved. He went five innings, two hits, one run, one walk, six Ks. How important especially with the struggles that Montas has been having, who's now on the fucking IL, because, oh, fuck. Reese McGuire comes off the bench and parks one to right. It's a 3-run home run off Clark Schmidt, and the Red Sox lead 4-3.
Oh.
Via Brian Hoke. With Montas on the IL, how important is it that Luis Severino stays healthy and continues to pitch kind of the way he's been pitching all year when he's been healthy?
And even questionably when he wasn't healthy.
True.
And, you know, the start before he got put on the 60-day. But, no, I mean, it's extremely important, and we've talked about in the past the energy that Sevy brings.
Yeah.
Sevy has been bringing a passionate energy off the mound. And, you know, I think that's a huge part of the team. That's a huge part of bringing us back into it, and especially winning games or bringing us back into games, having that off the mound is massive. He was doing so well when he's been pitching straight off the IL, right before the IL. He's been pitching really well all year, and it's really great to have him back as that starter, especially going into playoffs.
Yeah, I agree, because, listen, it's not hard to be frustrated with the outcome of the Frankie Montas trade right now. He's not exactly made a lot of positive impressions for the Yankees. Hopefully, this, if real or not, Phantom IL stint helps straighten some stuff out. But I do agree that a lot of our success kind of sits on Sevy being solid. Because then if Montas, ideally Montas would be our two, but the way that he's been performing, not really. You know, you have Gerrit Cole, and then if you didn't have Sevy, Domingo Germán?
Yeah.
Like, he's your second best? So I really, really, really bad. Because even, and we've talked about it before, Gerrit Cole can get hot and cold. Knock on wood, I haven't seen a cold Sevy.
Yeah.
Not,
or even his cold.
Oh, knock on all the wood. Knock on all the wood.
His cold Sevy isn't overly.
Isn't home run Garrett over here.
Yeah. Yeah. It isn't. I feel like he's not completely throwing games out within the first four innings.
I agree. And really, really, I mean, Scotty, you talked about him last week. Gleyber freaking Torres. Does he know how to not hit a ball?
Yeah, I don't know if he can learn how to not hit a ball. I think just it's fine.
Can confirm that Gleyber only hits.
Only barrels.
The first Yankee since A-Rod to hit two home runs in the same inning in last night's blowout, which is crazy. I would be, bro, could you imagine sitting at the fucking game last night, though, and you're like, Aaron Judge hit a home run. Torres hits one, you're like, cool, whatever. And then you're like, Torres hits a fucking other one? Are you fucking kidding me?
Didn't he just do that?
You're like, I came here to see a different guy hit home runs. What the fuck is this? But again, the importance of the rest of our lineup hitting so that Aaron Judge can get pitches is you want to know what that is? That's teamwork.
Yeah.
That's putting your teammates' needs above your own. Yeah. Also, it benefits you. Just hit the damn ball.
And I mean, we talked about it before, and we talked about it last week. We'll talk about it again. That's the most important thing. You have number one Aaron Judge. Okay, it's fine. Let's walk him. Let's walk him. That guy's going to hit a home run. Guess who's next? Gleyber Torres, who has been hitting the shit out of the ball. What, are you going to walk him? Okay, you walk him.
You get Anthony Rizzo, who needs to roll it.
Yeah, he hasn't hit. We could pitch to him. All right, well, you got one out, first and second. Now the guy who's going to hit it ball 250 miles an hour at our pitcher's
break
up.
All of our bones. And then there's, you know, that weird Oswaldo guy.
And there's that Donaldson guy who is great as a child. And we've gotten now to a point, we talked shit about them a month ago. And now we're back in it where we have the threats in the lineup that you now can't avoid. That's a key for this whole team, especially for Judge, is not being able to avoid Judge.
Yeah, that's
you have
the thing.
To pitch to Judge.
The success of the team relies on the success of Judge, and Judge's
success of Judge
relies on the success of the
team. Yeah.
God, it's like we're playing a team sport here. Yeah. I just have a few quick IL updates before you can talk about whatever you want to talk about the Yankees, unless I've covered everything that you want to talk about the Yankees, because that would be pretty crazy.
No, I think I have one thing.
Okay.
That's partially Yankee related.
Well, let's hit these first. Matty C, Luigi, Papa Carpenter. I don't know if anybody's ever called him that. I don't know why I said that.
Now it is. now somebody has.
He is scheduled to having new x-ray sometime this week. Obviously, time is running out for him to return in the regular season. Bro, I would not put it past Matt Carpenter to play in a boot.
Yep.
I would not
put it past him. He wants to be out there.
And I want him out there too. DJ LeMahieu is set to make his return this upcoming week, but we should not expect him to be 100%, which kind of sucks. But this is going to sound absolutely terrible, and I don't mean it the way that I'm going to say it. I totally forgot about DJ LeMahieu.
I'm going to be honest as well. I did. I knew he had his problems. And I knew we talked about his foot. And then he kind of just floated away because there was no news about him.
I was like, okay. But happy to see smiling, happy, oh so chatty DJ back. Michael King. Baby. Oh, God. Every time I think about what happened to Michael King, I'm so sad. He was not supposed to. He wasn't even supposed to be in that game. No. Anyway, Michael King said that he's supposed to have a new imaging done on his elbow this week. He's seen 5 doctors. 4 of 5 have said he can avoid Tommy John, and the 5th one is 50-50.
I'm not even a fucking arm doctor.
He's like, dude, I'm a podiatrist. I look at E. And then Wandy has been put on the 15-day IL. With left thoracic spine tightness.
Old man gets back pains.
Efros has been reinstated. And so has Zach Britton.
Yay.
Yay. If I see that motherfucker's name on my phone tonight, I'm gonna riot. I'm sure he's healthy. I just hate him. No, I mean, like, partially to do with how he plays, if you ever, you know, remember your heart shattering during the Field of Dreams games, but mostly because of the pain that he caused me personally and professionally. But that's a look at our ILs. I also believe, I don't have a screenshot of this, so I'm not completely sure, but I think Benintendi, if returning, would be similar to Carpenter, where it would probably be like the first week of playoffs. We would have the full gang. And I swear to God, if we have Carpenter and Benintendi back and Marwin Gonzalez
still on that damn roster,
the roster spot, I am driving to wherever they are and having a stern conversation. No threats on this podcast.
I'm sitting down and I'm having a nice conversation.
I'm just hearing them out. And then,
nah, screw that. They don't get a word in. It is purely my voice.
Answering back to them and asking purely fact and stat based questions because science and numbers never lie. Anyway, Scotty, what do you have on the Yankees?
So start off, MLB put this out. The numbers behind Judge.
Oh my freaking.
So we mentioned it earlier. And I'm right about it. It was 20 home runs. He has a 20 home run lead over Kyle Schwarber.
I was going to say Kyle Schwarber, right?
Yep. 54 different pitchers Judge has hit a home run off of, which is an AL record. 11 multi-home run games, which is tied for most in the season. I remember they keep a track of that as well, which is bold.
I think that's how he's, like, obviously he's gotten to 60 because he's, like, wildly good at baseball. Aaron Judge, good at baseball.
that's 22 home runs.
Yeah, whenever he hits one, like, in, like, inning 1 through 3, I'm like,
I feel like one's coming in the 7th.
I'm like, check back in inning 7 and 8, baby.
Yeah.
He's just warming up.
Out of his 60 home runs, 48 have been in wins, which makes sense when your team is winning a lot.
Well, at first I thought you meant it was going into the win.
The win, no.
And I was like, cool stat!
In games in which the Yankees win, 48 of them have been in that game. And he has a 1.591 OPS in September, which would be the fourth highest monthly OPS ever.
He's the first guy to be leading the Triple Crown in September since Miggy did it when he won the Triple Crown.
Yeah, which is wild.
How? I don't even know how to quantify this, so I don't expect you to know the answer.
Go to the board, Lex. What does it say? Judge good at baseball.
Judge good at baseball. How much money do you think a Triple Crown raises his price? MVP raises it. Breaking the home run record raises it. Also winning the Triple Crown.
30 million.
He's getting paid, like, he's going to get like $700 million.
Yeah.
And if it's not from the Yankees, I am then again having a very serious conversation with some very specific people.
Anyways.
Just a little chat.
Go ahead. That is the last thing that I have specifically on the Yankees. I want to shift over to kind of the Yankees. Ken Walden or Hayden Wesneski just had an immaculate inning today. Hayden Wesneski.
We're going to keep talking about our trades. JP Hughes the other day went six innings, no hits.
Maybe we're just maybe
God, I love ex-Yankees.
It's really that is all because of our pitching coach. It's all on us.
Yeah, here's the thing. When I go and have these very serious conversations with the Yankees staff, Matt Blake not in them.
Matt Blake is never.
Matt Blake doesn't need to hear anything.
Matt Blake understands like, everything.
Please treat Michael King with all the kindness and respect in the world, and please tell Nestor I say hello. Other than that, I have one qualm with Matt Blake. Did you hear Jordan Montgomery's comments?
No.
About why he thinks he's doing better in St. Louis? Because the Yankees. The Yankees.
Yankees. I don't know what you're trying for there.
The Yankees didn't have him throw his fastball.
He was curveball heavy.
Mm-hmm. And the Cardinals are having him throw his fastball more. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying we did not lose the Jordan Monk. As of right now, obviously Bader's only played, three games? He's in the middle of his third game. I'm not saying we lost the Cardinals trade. But the reason that the Cardinals trade hurts a little bit more is because out of everybody we've traded in a while, I don't want to say in recent history because I kind of forget who we traded last year, if I'm being completely honest. It all blurs together. But that's the reason that the Montgomery trade kind of stands out this year is because he went to St. Louis and really became a different pitcher.
Yeah.
And I just find that interesting. And I'd want to know, hey, Matty Blake, why didn't we throw Montgomery's fastball?
It in perspective, he was – immaculate when he first went to St. Louis. He settled down a little bit now with a 2.35 ERA. Like,
he's back to standard Jordan Montgomery.
He's still above average Jordan Montgomery.
I'm a Jordan Montgomery stan. Stand with Jordan Montgomery.
So he's 5-2 in 9 games. So he only has 2 no decisions. So there has been slight offense for him.
It's actually only been Albert Pujols. In case you're wondering, Aaron Judge was just served his third walk of the night.
So he is 0-1 through 4 at bats. The strikeout. That's a big thing that you see a lot with pitchers, whether they're traded or that's always their outbreak. Their outbreak is always a pitch change. Mm-hmm. You saw it last year with Gausman. He went to the splitter more. Boom, he got better. Everything like that that's normally what it takes these average pitchers to become above average. It's always that one pitch change. It's always like, hey, they were told me to throw this more instead of this, and boom, he became great.
Yeah,
it happened like 2 or 3 times last year.
Very true.
So I'm not surprised that happened, and that makes sense.
I have 2 really quick things Yankee adjacent, as in minor league related. Anthony Volpe was named Minor League Player of the Year for the organization. Makes sense. And the AA Somerset Patriots have made it to the playoffs for Minor League Baseball.
Relating back to Wesneski, his immaculate inning goes along with Ryan Helsley's immaculate inning for the Cardinals. And it was actually an immaculate inning for a save. Which is actually a cool thing.
Super cool.
But the last immaculate inning that came from the Cardinals was all the way back in 2002. Scotty,
you're doing the yarn thing again. Hayden was asking back to the Cardinals.
I'm good. I'm good here with it. I'm good here with it. Love the Cards. Go Birds, just in general.
All of the birds except for
actually,
the
never mind, the Blue Jays.
All of the birds except for the Blue Jays. Canada doesn't have birds.
I think that's as much as I get for connections. I have to go off a little bit.
Damn.
Let's start off with something that happened the furthest back now, which would be just a week ago exactly on Roberto Clemente Day. The Rays honor Roberto Clemente in probably the best way possible, being the first Major League Baseball team in history that had all nine hitters in a starting lineup as Latino. Granted, you take that back, all in the NL that require a pitcher, and honestly, just now I'm realizing that Latino pitchers are just becoming more popular now. They're not all white.
I'm going to ask a question. Did the Rays win that game?
I do not know if they did. I'm actually curious.
I mean, we've talked about this. Because with the World Baseball Classic coming up, the Dominican Republic team is going to hit and score 7 million runs. Like, they're just going to. But I agree. That's probably the best, like, the single best way to honor Roberto Clemente Day, which I think is so obvious. Oh, Lexi, wow, bold thought. You think Roberto Clemente Day is important? Huh.
They did end up, holy shit.
How much did they win by?
11-0.
Who did they play?
The Blue Jays.
Bro, never put out a different lineup ever again. Shane McClanahan pulled out early.
Was the pitcher in that game. Got the win.
He got pulled early in his last start, did he not?
Yes. Wait, let me make sure. I think that was actually that game. Yes.
But why?
Actually, it might not been.
I think that that's so crazy that is the first time that they've had that anybody has ever put forward a full Latinx lineup.
Well, the way that I see it is all nine, so it couldn't be NL unless for the so limited Latino pitchers that we've had in the past.
Fair.
Like Felix Hernandez. But there hasn't always been a ton of,
It's definitely kicked up.
Oh, it's risen now 100%, but I think in the past it hasn't been as common. I feel like, the only shot was in the AL and for an all Latino team, and there's that, but
hello,
I feel like
Kevin Cash. Hi, it's me. Still doing don't business. Ever put out a different lineup. You idiot. Actually retracted. Never put that lineup out ever again.
Play that lineup out.
You're playing the Yankees.
Put that lineup out only when you're playing the Blue Jays.
Yeah, the Blue Jays, the Sox, not the Orioles. Don't be mean to the Orioles. The White Sox. If you guys go and play the Dodgers, especially if you play the Astros, let's just play some strategic baseball here.
We also saw, if I'm correct, two triple plays over this past week.
Yes.
I know there was one with the Rangers.
Orioles just had one recently.
Within the last 2 days.
I don't know what week it fell into.
I think it was this week because there was never another one before that I've ever spoken of. Now I have to find it, and now it's tough because I'm struggling to find it. I 100% was.
It was the Orioles. Because I remember seeing it. I just didn't know about speaker last week.
I just was trying to remember when it was.
The last place eliminated Texas Rangers finally remember that they have two of the best shortstops on their team and turn a triple play.
Oh my god, now. Oh, okay. So yeah, that's the Rangers did it.
Not to change sports here, but the Boston Celtics coach Ime has officially been suspended.
Oh my god, I saw so many things about him in such a short time.
Scotty, we'll talk about that later.
I know. All right. I don't know. I can't find another one. There was a second one. I'm pretty sure it was the Orioles. And always cool to see triple plays. We never saw it this year.
Remember last year? How many triple plays the Yankees fucking spun?
Yeah. What, three or four last year?
I thought it was closer to six.
I didn't think it was that much. Then again, it could have been.
The one that I distinctly remember is the Chapman Toronto on the one. Mound. I remember the one that Chapman was on the mound, and we're like, oh, this is a sticky situation. And I'm pretty sure the bases were loaded, and we turned a triple play to get out of an inning. And Chapman was just, like, on the mound. Like, normally he's like, oh, and he was just like.
Yeah, they turned three. Oh, that was in June.
3 in a month.
Yeah, no, that was, oh, yeah, that was just about, that was in June. So, okay, now I have to scroll a while. This is going every single one that's ever existed. Oh, here we go. On the 18th, the Orioles at the Blue Jays turned one, a 6-4-3.
The traditional one.
And then triple
6-4-3.
Probably it was a line drive. I think it was a line drive to the shortstop.
Oh, yeah. I was like, Scotty, where the fuck is the third
and
out?
Then on the 20th, oh, yeah, on the 20th. Oh, wow, we've had a lot more than I thought. I haven't heard of this many.
We need to win. The Orioles just beat the Astros.
Oh, we do need to win that. I didn't realize there's a lot. Holy shit. So this year, so Rangers, Angels, that one just happened.
Wow, that's a hell of a baseball game.
Twins, Rangers. Twins turned it against the Rangers.
Yeah.
Twins did it against the White Sox. The Nationals did it at the Brewers. And the Rangers did it at the Mariners. So the Rangers have done two this year.
Okay.
The Twins have done it twice.
I don't mean to say this and be like, oh, triple plays don't matter. But like, I feel like triple plays obviously matter. But I feel like a lot of triple plays kind of happen due to luck. Like a little bit of luck.
Oh, yeah. It's a situational
Everything
thing.
Has
I mean,
to
can't be proud of it.
Absolutely perfect.
Also, we had three last year. We had three triple plays.
We just did them all in June?
Basically. It was like 3 out of 5 or 3 out of 4 total triple plays were us. But finally, somebody that I personally have thought a lot of, like, you know, I really like this guy, and he's kind of a sleeper for most people. Colton Wong. Home run night tonight. And
two home run shots. Yeah,
he
not cheap.
In total. Like, it, as a whole, the entire year, Colton Wong, not even just this year, in general, Colton Wong is a very good player and gets overlooked all the time.
Okay, that's why I know we breezed past the Brewers series in this episode, because I didn't watch a lot of it. West Coast games, kind of tough to watch. But that Brewers team, I find it so interesting that the Brewers, when people think of the Brewers, they think of Christian Yelich, who has not had a great few years since MVP season, broken kneecap, whatever. The Brewers are a good little team. Colton Wong. I always say this. I've said this since he was a Ray. Willy Adames. Like, they're a tough little team.
Yeah, no, they are a team. We've talked about this all with a few other teams. They're a team that isn't full of superstars, but
they're
still
just
very good.
Full of baseball players.
Yep.
You want to know what they're full of? They're full of Oswaldo Cabreras. Because they're like, our guy is Christian Yelich. And he's like, alas, I have forgotten how to play baseball. But I do look like Pete Davidson.
Basically.
But yeah, Colton Wong, just tonight. Crazy.
Just tonight.
Crazy.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yeah, that is all that I have.
I was trying to think if there's been any... I think this happened last week, but the Dodgers have clinched their playoff spot.
The Braves clinched their playoff
spot.
Oh, Spencer Strider hit for 200 career strikeouts already, but I think that happened last week.
And then was scratched by his next start.
Or oblique.
Yes. So the Braves clinched their playoff spot. The Mets clinched their playoff spot. The Astros clinched theirs. I don't know if anybody else, either the NL or the AL.
I mean, you're only talking the Dodgers are the only other ones.
Yeah. Right, we're down to it. Scotty, it is time to place our bets. This time next week, over under 3.5 home runs by Aaron Judge. Do you want to do 3.5 or is 3.5 too much? You want to do 2.5?
I think 3.5 is too much.
Okay, we'll say 2.5.
I want to see something real quick. I'm gonna do some looking. We play the Red Sox today.
He's actually gonna be walked series. The rest of the Red Sox series.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna walk up for a single at bat. So we have the Red Sox tomorrow, Red Sox Saturday, Red Sox Sunday,
Whoa,
Toronto series. three games versus Toronto. and then we're back here.
But the thing is Toronto going to throw to him?
I feel like you can't not throw to him. Again, same situation of like you can't go around. You can't avoid him.
Yeah, but like
I think under three and a half.
You think under three? I agree.
I think under 3.5, but I still think that he's going to get 2.
Yes.
I'm going to put it 2, and that's going to be it.
I agree. So we will check in with you, hopefully, with good Aaron Judge news next week.
That's the plan.
We are coming down to it. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I might be wrong, that this is the last series at the stadium of the regular season, correct?
Just had it up. We play Baltimore next
week.
Oh,
we play Baltimore.
We play Baltimore at home.
Kind of crazy. Kind of crazy.
We have 3 more series after Boston here, and that's it.
And all Aaron Judge has to do is hit
2 more.
Bro, at least hit 1.
At least 1.
Did you see the tweet? About with Didi in it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Call me when you hit 60.
Yeah, after Judge's hit 50 home runs, his freshman year. Jesus Christ. His rookie year, there is a picture of him and Didi in the dugout, and it's like Didi talking to Judge, call me when you hit 60. And then Major League Baseball or the Yankees or both of them quote tweeted the tweet and said, hey, Didi, your phone's ringing. Crazy. I don't even think Didi Gregorius is a professional baseball player.
No, and then Didi replied to it and was like, yeah, Aaron Judge isn't picking up or something like that. He replied to it, I'm pretty sure. Or made a comment on it, something like that.
I love Didi Gregorius. Anyway.
Everybody loves Didi.
Anyway. Hopefully we're back with a clinched playoff spot and a new home run champion. Is that too much to ask?
I'm sorry to put this in now.
Oh.
So yesterday, the Orioles pitcher did a complete game. And today the Orioles pitcher went 8 2/3 with 2 hits and 10 Ks. So that's 2 days in a row. Very good outings from O's.
But respectfully, I could have had you lose today and that would have made life so much easier.
I honestly would have been fine if you did that tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. Actually, I give a fuck about what you did today. And today your job was to lose. I thought we were friends. Anyway,
John Heyman tweeted out 10 minutes ago, Alex Cora said they're going after Judge.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you are. Michael Wacha, Judge was 0 for 14 with 9 strikeouts against Wacha coming into this game. Like, brother, if anybody's going to stop Aaron Judge, it's you, my guy. Anyway, this has been going on for long enough. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to keep up with the Aaron Judge chase, the playoff chase, anything to do about the Yankees, you can head over to our Instagram that Scotty crushes on at pinstripe.podcast. We will be back here next Friday at 11 a.m. with some good freaking news. For Scotty, this is Lexi, and this has been the Pinstripe Podcast. Bye!